love, be genuine and hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good and love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope and be patient in suffering. Persevere in prayer. Stand as you are comfortable and able. Join me in the call to worship. You have all left the safety and comfort of your homes to come to this place. Why have you made this journey? Whom do you seek?
We
How do you know that your hopes will come to pass?
The ancient writings of our faith promise that a Savior will be sent by God to redeem the people of Israel. The Messiah will show us the way. Like the shepherd who leads his flock away from those who prey upon them and guides them to safe pastures, Jesus will lead us.
This is a promise whose boundaries are greater than the Sea of Galilee and whose breadth is higher than the stars. How will this be accomplished?
Jesus, we call upon God to aid him in this mission. Jesus has commanded us to pray to God to lead us into a new promised land. Just as Moses led our people in ancient times, so also
it is plain to see that you are people of great faith, but you have suffered great tribulation. You are persecuted by the Romans and scorned by the priest of the temple. You live in fear, and danger is your constant companion. Can hope and prayer lift this burden from your people?
Lord, our God, send Jesus to cast aside tribulation and free us.
What is your greatest hope? What do you expect in answer to your prayers?
We pray that God will help us to see the way. God has sent Jesus to guide us. Our hope is that God will welcome us into God's house, and that we will be in communion with Jesus. For every room in God's house, Christ will be there.
Thank you.
Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go, prepare the Passover meal for us that we may eat it." And they asked him, "Where do you want us to make preparations for it?" "Listen," he said to them, "when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house he enters and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks you, where is the guest room? Where may I eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs already furnished. Make preparations for us there." So they went and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. On the table that the Lord has set before us, and we are invited to partake of this most blessed of sacraments, to be in communion with our Lord and Savior. But we have hesitation in our hearts, for we have strayed from God's commandments, and we have been confronted by the forces of darkness, and we have not spoken. Thank you. Jesus, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. We confess that at times our faith is tested by the tribulations we must endure. In these dark times, we question you, O Lord, and cast blame on you for our troubles and our afflictions. We see as in a mirror reflected our weakness, and we lift up our prayers that you may grant us strength and courage to live our lives as Jesus has instructed. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial and tribulation, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him.
Rejoice always, Lord. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God.
And now hear the words, the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as recorded in the Gospel of Luke. When the hour came, he took place at the table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Then he took a loaf of bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it. He gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance. He did the same with the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup that is poured out for you. It is the new covenant in my blood. Every time we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the saving death of our risen Lord until he comes again. I would invite the communion servers to please come forward. We will be celebrating communion by intinction. If you'll come to the side of the table where you are seated to receive a piece of bread to dip in the cup. Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. voices in prayer together. Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, ruler of the universe, creator of the fruit of the vine. I love the Lord because God heard my voice and my supplications, because God inclined God's ear to me. Therefore, I will call upon God as long as I live. Blessed art thou, Lord our God, ruler of the universe, who has chosen us among all peoples and sanctified us with commandments. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord helps those in need. I was brought low, and the Lord helped me. In love you have given us, O Lord our God, solemn days of joy and festive seasons of gladness, even this day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, a holy convocation unto us, a memorial of the departure from Egypt. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. You have loosed my bonds. You have chosen us for your service, have made us sharers in the blessing of your holy festivals. Blessed thou, O Lord our God, who has served us, sustained us, and brought us to this table. Amen.
I am the voice of all men. I am the voice of all women. I am the voice of the old and wise. I am the voice of the young and foolish. I have learned that in life it is more profitable to listen than it is to speak. It has been told to me that Jesus of Nazareth has prayed in the temple and has been questioned by the priests as to who he is and why he has come to Jerusalem. The Pharisees challenge him and his authority to minister to the people. Jesus has overturned the tables of the money changers and the sellers in the temple and has been very close to arrest many times since his arrival. The rumors spread through the city like fire through a mound of dry straw. Some say that he is the Messiah, and some say that he is the Son of God. I do not speak up about Jesus and his actions. It is far safer to just listen. I continue to pray each day to God to ask his blessing on myself and my loved ones. Although I know that it is wrong to do so on some days, I have prayed to God to ask that he allow me to live long enough to see the coming of the Chosen One, to see for myself the ancient prophecies fulfilled. I have committed to memory these teachings. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I myself saw Jesus enter the city riding on a donkey with the peoples of Israel rejoicing. I do confess that I am pleased that this man Jesus seems to be speaking truth and love to his followers. I must also confess that while I am pleased with this prophet and his teachings, my heart is not quite prepared to rejoice and proclaim that he is the Messiah that was foretold in the ancient holy writings. But I do have hope that this Nazarene may touch my heart and that I will come to believe that he is truly the Son of God. Yes, I must have hope, just as I see that the sky takes on the shades of orange during both the sunrise and the sunset, and that gives me hope that the sun will set only to rise again.
When it was evening, he took his place with the 12, and while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him one after another, "Well, surely not I, Lord." And he answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born." And Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." And he replied, "You have said so." The morning wind began to moan, but still the night went on. Though its giant loom, the web of gloom crept till each thread was spun. And as we prayed, we grew afraid of the justice of the sun. Alas, it is a fearful thing to feel another's guilt. For right within, the sword of sin pierced to its poisoned hilt. And as molten lead, blood. Yes. They went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain, keep awake." And going a little farther, he threw himself onto the ground and he prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." He came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping. Their eyes were heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time. He said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough! The hour has come. Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
I am the voice you hear in the morning as the birds sing to the sun, urging it to return to the sky. I am the voice in the wind that howls and beats the rain against your face. I am the quiet voice of the stream as it makes its way over rock and stone. And I am the chorus of voices that sing the holy songs of the first month on the 14th day of the month of Nisan, between the two evenings which marks the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. For 7 days we shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day we shall have a holy convocation, and we shall do no manner of servile work, and we shall bring an offering made by fire unto the Lord for 7 days. And again, on the seventh day, is a holy convocation. As it has been taught to me by my Father, so have I taught this to my sons and daughters, that the observance of the Passover requires that all leavening be removed from our house before the beginning of the 15th of Nisan. It is our tradition that an unblemished lamb, the Paschal lamb, is to be set apart from the flock on the 10th day of Nisan and slaughtered at dusk as the 14th day ends. This we do in preparation for the 15th day of Nisan, when the lamb will be roasted and eaten. We take care not to cut out the internals of the lamb to remind us of the haste of our people preparing for the Passover in Egypt. They had no time to properly butcher the lamb and goat, nor leaven the bread. The marrow, the bitter herbs, reminds us of the bondage of Pharaoh. Nothing of the sacrifice on which the sun rises by the morning of the 15th day of Nisan may be eaten, but all must be burned. Our laws instruct us that the meal is to be eaten with our loins girded, our shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And we shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. This man Jesus has entered our city, and now he and his followers must make preparations for the Passover meal. It is strange in my mind why a rabbi from Nazareth would make the long and difficult journey to Jerusalem and to find himself away from his home for the Passover. Perhaps he will find comfort in his prayers offered at the temple. I am also one of the faithful, and I make my path to the temple twice each day, as the priests instruct us to do. I pray to Almighty God to keep me from sin and to grant myself and my family good health and much happiness. And now I pray for this Rabbi Jesus. I pray that he might bring us closer to God and free us from the Roman occupiers. And I pray that this man will be revealed as the Messiah. For I believe that those who are preparing for the coming of Christ should be sober and watch unto prayer. For our adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Whom we are to resist steadfast in the faith, and with the greatest weapon to defeat evil, which is prayer.
While he was still speaking, suddenly a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, is it with a kiss that you are to betray the Son of Man?" When those who were around him saw what was coming, they asked, "Lord, should we strike with a sword?" And one of them struck the slave of the high priest, cut off his right ear. But Jesus said, "No, no more of this." He touched his ear and healed him. And then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple police, and the elder who had come for him, have you come out with swords and clubs as if I were a bandit? When I was with you the day after day in the temple and you did not lay hands on me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. The vilest deeds like poison weeds bloom well in evil air. It is only what is good in man that wastes and withers there. Pale anguish keeps the heavy gate, and the warder is despair. Yet were looking for false testimony against Jesus so that they might put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. At last, two came forward and said that this fellow said, "I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days." The high priest stood up and said, "Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?" But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him, "I put you under oath before the living God. Tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God." Jesus said to him, "You have said so. But I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." And then the high priest tore his clothes and said, "He blasphemed. Why do we still need witnesses? You have now heard the blasphemy. What is your verdict?" They answered, "He deserves death."
"I am the voice you hear in the market, haggling over a price of bread. I am the voice that you hear calling my children to come in for their evening meal. And I am the voice that you hear scolding my neighbor for allowing his goats to feast in my garden. In my day, I have come to know many men and many women who are good and honest and are right with the Lord. But sadly, and to my distress, I have come to know some men and some women who are wicked and sinful and who defile the Lord their God. I have heard many wise men in the temple who say that you must be fearful and shun those who try to lead you in the way of evil and sin. But I do not believe that a man can be led like a sheep or a cow. The way a man will go and the life that he will lead is all put forth within a man's own mind, not by the doings of his enemy or foe. It is himself that leads him to evil ways. Evil is the sole province of a man, and as my eyes have seen, more so with men than with women. And fear is the handmaiden of evil, for men who are fearful are more given to do evil deeds. When we are born, God fills our heart with hope and love. As we grow older, we learn to replace the hope and love with fear and envy, and for some they fill their hearts with hate. And if fear is the handmaiden of evil, then surely fear is the brethren of hate. For the boy that fears the darkness grows to become the man who hates the darkness. It is the way of man to seek to destroy that which he fears. I do not profess to know this man Jesus well, but I surely know the priests and the Pharisees of the temple. At times it is difficult to know which the Pharisees fear more, the Roman occupiers or the Hebrew rebels. Caiaphas, the chief priest, was appointed by the Roman prefect Valerius Gratus. Gratus was the governor of Judea before Pilate. And at times it is difficult for men like me to know who to fear more, the Roman soldiers or the temple guards, for both seek to punish and torture anyone who speaks out for what is right and proper. If this man Jesus came to me for counsel, I would tell him to keep his distance from the holy men of the Sanhedrin. I am fearful of what will come to pass if this man Jesus continues to anger the Roman occupiers and the priests in the temple. And this rabbi has also succeeded in making an enemy of Herod Antipas. I worry what retribution will be inflicted on all of us, whose only sin is that we make our home in Judea. With each new day, this prophet's sermons stir the pot of anger and hatred among his enemies. Only a fool would not be frightened and sorrowful in these times. I have seen much in my lifetime, and because I remember, I live with despair and tribulation as my constant companions.
Thank you.
this day comes to an end, so also does our service. The pure and wondrous light that radiated from the upper room is being consumed by the darkness. The darkness of betrayal and the evil of jealousy, hatred.
We must go now from this place and return to our homes. We will pass a restless night and a troubled tomorrow, for our Messiah has been arrested and made against me. We are abandoned and have only misery and fear against our brethren.
You must remember God's message to the faithful to rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and constant in prayer. Remember that the hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness.